Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Ngube.
Good afternoon.
I hope you are well. Are you good?
I'm excellent.
Lovely. We've been trying to get a hold of you. Now, as research has shown, a strong, supportive friendship has significant impacts on your health and overall well-being. And on the other hand, a toxic friendship, or one that has run its course, has a detrimental impact on one's health and well-being. And while we cannot choose a family, we definitely have the ability to choose friendships and invest time and energy into them. And so how can we identify and deal with the unhealthy, toxic friendships? That's what we're going to be talking about this afternoon. So, my elder, what are some red flags to look for in an unhealthy friendship?
I think the one of the greatest things that we can look at when we are looking at friendships is that do we believe the same thing? Mm. I think what attracts us to other people is that we generally believe the same thing. Mm. And if that is not found in any friendship, then it means that someone is being drawn to do either what they do not like to do, mm-hmm. or things that they are going to be taught that are new. But in all friendships, there should be a willingness to participate.
Yeah. Now, what should be the first course of action when such a red flag is identified? Do we just cut off a toxic friend, or should there be some form of recourse?
Maybe we should take from the Bible and look at the fact that there is a parable of the fig tree in a vineyard. Mm-hmm. Jesus is passing by, then he sees a fig tree that looked healthy, but it had no fruit. Mm. And he said, "You see what, I'm going to curse it. It's going to be dry." But they asked that if they would tender it just for one more year, mm. maybe it would bear fruit. I think the greatest mistake that we can do, both as Christianity and as generally humanity, it is to give up on others. Mm. Because the grace that God has given us does not give up on us.
Yeah.
But that does not mean also that we should be attached to those that do wrong for the sake of friendship.
True.
So I think we should tend them by encouragement, tend them by being true to principle and the teachings that we have as Christians.
Now, what are some of the reasons, if any, that justify to completely cut off a friend?
You see, the Bible, I think, has got many examples of why we can cut off a friend. One example is that it says that if someone has done wrong, mm. take a friend and go and talk to them.
Right.
And discuss and see if they can be changed. Mm. But if there's no change, bring another brother so that you go the three of you to speak to the friend about the wrong that they are doing. Mm-hmm. But if then you fail in all those attempts, you have got the permission to render them to the devil. That's what the Bible says.
Yeah.
But it is not necessarily saying that you should render or throw them away to the devil. It is saying that leave them to exercise their free will. Mm. Because what they would have chosen is a way of life that also means a way to their end.
Yeah. Now, do I have a way of knowing if I am the toxic friend instead?
I think the idea of knowing whether you're the toxic friend or not the toxic friend comes from a thought. Let's take an example from the Bible,
mm-hmm.
where the Good Samaritan. What makes the Good Samaritan help the man that was broken and trodden down on?
Mm.
Was not the fact that he was hurt. But it was because the Samaritan himself was a good person or was a friend. And I think it starts with you being a friend to yourself, that you can extend your friendship to others.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the Bible says. It says that love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So if you have love for yourself, then it is also possible for you to extend love to others.
Mm.
So that's what I think, that if we need anything to change in other people, we should be able to express the love that we have to others so that others can be drawn to us.
Mm. You know, Elder, I'm looking at the example of Christ and his friend Judas Iscariot. Now we see Christ keeping him around, even though he knew that Judas would actually betray him. Do you think that's a good idea for us today, to keep friends who we know cannot be trusted?
I think Jesus did not just keep Judas.
Mm.
Jesus had boundaries.
Okay.
So what I would generally say to young people is that when you set boundaries, even the worst of your enemies know how much they can poke you and how much they may not.
Mm.
So in all the time that Judas was around Jesus, he knew exactly where he would get to and which parts he would get to and which parts he would not.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus' boundaries were there and they were clear. And I think that's where most of our problems start.
Yeah.
Where we do not set boundaries, and those that are around us take us for anything that comes by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So if we set our boundaries, then it is possible for us to say to ourselves, you see what, if he goes beyond this, then he can be cut off.
Mm, mm, mm.
But also, it is the people who see you, when they know that you're a person with boundaries, they will not cross over those boundaries because they know that they are set. And the other thing also is that boundaries are not just good for other people who are coming into your life. The boundaries are there to protect them and to protect yourself.
True.
So when we follow the boundaries that we would have given to ourselves, we protect both the friend and ourselves,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
from falling into the traps of sin or a misguided thought.
Yeah, true. Now, what would you say is the role of forgiveness in a healthy friendship? And must it actually always end in a reconciliation?
Okay. The Bible says that we should forgive 70 times 7, which is about 490 times a day.
Mm.
But I think that was hypothetic.
Okay.
It was just saying that forgive as much as you can.
Mm.
But it does not give us the ability to be trodden down upon as Christians. I don't think it gives us that allowance to say, okay, people should just do whatever they want to do with us. That's why I said in as I was starting, that we should set boundaries, and those boundaries will determine how people act around us, or how we act also around others.
And lastly, before I let you go, my elder, thank you so much actually for that view. Is loving from afar a Christian concept, or maybe it's an excuse of holding on to resentment towards a former friend?
I think we have been hurt so much by others that we think it is possible to hate, to love from afar. To love from afar is to hate.
That's interesting.
But that's what I believe, because you see what? The extent of love remove resentment. Because if I am to resent someone, then it means that I have to restrict the love that I also offer to them. If Christ had a portion of resentment in his love for us, then his love would be conditional to us. So yeah. I would believe that as we strive to be better Christians, we are also striving for renewal of the mind as Christ has instructed.
Yeah.
But one thing that I would also tell young people is that the more you play around mud, the more people see you as a dirty person.
Yeah, true.
So whoever we associate with determines how people look at us and how the overview that they have on us as Christians.
Yeah. That's very true. Well, my elder, I must thank you so much for coming through and giving us of your time this afternoon. It's always, always a blessing to talk to you. We'll be connecting with you again tomorrow at 3:30. I do hope that you have a fantastic afternoon.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.